Okay, we're going to continue our series on the subject of 2020 vision, on how important it is for us to have 2020 vision. As I mentioned, I was not born technically with 2020 vision. I had to have corrective things done. I did that LASIK. I mentioned that in my first message, I think. But that was a blessing to be able to see. But, you know, it's important that we're to the place in our life now in our walk with God. Some of us are coming here from different angles. Maybe we've been saved a short time, maybe a long time. But no matter what the situation is, you know, we need to have better clarity to be able to see what the Spirit of God is doing, especially in these last days. You know, we live in very complicated times. Very complicated. The attack of the enemy, as just you know what's going on around, many people are suffering a lot of different things in their life, mentally and physically and things like this. So, you know, I believe God has given us some wisdom on how we can better combat that to be able to walk in the place that God wants us to be. You know, I believe that God wants us to be able to walk in victory. And what we're going to look at today is the idea is our words matter. Our words matter. Now, this can be very convicting to some degree, and I don't want to step on too many toes, but if I do, praise God, we know the healer, his name is Jesus. Amen? You know, because sometimes our mouth doesn't line up with God's word. I've been saved 30 years, and I know my mouth doesn't line up with God's word all the time. So I'm preaching to myself, too. The words that we speak have influence, and they always influence something. And I believe they'll either influence things for the good or for the bad. And we need to be responsible for the words that we speak. I think we need to stop telling it like it is and start telling it like we want to be sometimes. Amen? You know, if we're going to get anywhere in life, we need to learn how to control our tongue. Because our tongue is what gets us in the most trouble, but also it could get us in the most blessing too. So this, it's not negative all the time, it's positive also. Now week one, I just want to touch bases here again. We looked at the idea of fresh eyes and how we need to get a fresh revelation from God for 2020. You know, we need to get that connection. You know, maybe you haven't done that yet for this year, but, you know, ask God, what do you want me to accomplish this year? What is it you want me to see? What is it you want me to be a part of? You know, because life flies by so fast. You know, I just, just think when we started the church, you know, a long time ago and just how, you know, I look back, there's some things I wish I would have done differently. You know, but, you know, I just look back at just how things have flown by. And unless we're willing to step into this moment of time and get a fresh touch from God, you know, time just passes us by. Week two, we looked at the idea of the lens of faith. You know, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. We live in a world that has largely been influenced by the devil and his kingdom. So a lot of things we take for granted is wrong thinking. It's strongholds, different things set up in our mind. And everybody else is doing it. I mean, just for kicks. I mean, how many has went out and had a hamburger at one of the major food establishments, right? We all do, probably. And get some French fries or something. Now, that food has been changed over the years. And I'm not a food Nazi, but I'll tell you what, that food is killing us. The salt and the sugar they put in it because our taste buds have been trained so much to want that, you know, healthy food, you know, sometimes freaks us out. And we don't like it because it don't taste good. Why? Not enough sugar, not enough salt. But culturally, that's what happened. If you go over to other countries over in Europe where they maybe don't have those things, they eat quite differently than we do, and they don't have the weight problems we do. But see, that's it's a culture thing in the natural, but also it's even worse in the spiritual. The things that have been attacking us and making us think wrong. And then week three, which was last week, we looked at what are we looking at? You know, I talked about purpose, persistence, and then the prize. So we need to look at those things. Now this week, we're going to look at the importance of words. I want to start off today in Psalms chapter 107, verse 2. Psalms 107, verse 2. It says, it's brief and amazing, I like that. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And that's the devil. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come today to worship freely in this country and in this world and this church, Lord. We thank you for the stirring of the Holy Spirit to be here in each of our hearts, no matter where we come at this, from whatever phase we are in life. Holy Spirit, we know that you're the absolute, ultimate teacher, and you're the one that can take what I say and make something good out of it. And I pray for a fresh impartation right now on each of our lives. Lord, also, I just thank you that I yield to the gift you put inside of me, Lord. I ask you to stir that gift right now. Pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we thank you that we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and we believe that they're in operation right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 3 points I want to look at today is our words matter to us, our words matter to God, and our words matter to the devil. First point we're going to look at is that our words matter to us. You know, we need to start saying what God says about us. Too much of our time is spent on what other people think about us, and we let that influence that they try to force on us, to mold us into their mold. But see, one of the good news is about the Bible is that when you find out and you start to read it and you start to find some scriptures in there, you know, God's not mad at you. God loves you. God's changed your life. You're now a new creation. You have all these things going for you. Why would you listen to somebody trying to drag you down? You know, so to have 20/20 vision, we need to see ourselves on this side of Calvary. Too many times we look at the old life and what we used to be like, and we think that's who we really are. You know, a lot of my friends, when I first got saved, when I come back here, I got saved out in another state. But when I come back, I mean, they would try to see me in the old light. And I would tell them, that's not me. That's not who I am anymore. The Bible says I'm a new creation. The Bible says this side of Calvary, I've been set free. And I need to walk in that sort of things. We need to start confessing the truth of God's word in our life. That means we're going to have to maybe do a little homework. See, a lot of times we don't want to spend the time where, you know, basically just to cut to the chase, we're lazy, aren't we? We're lazy. You know, we have everybody else do stuff for us. And, you know, we look up scriptures, and I'm guilty. Sometimes I'll do a quickie on Google. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I thank God for Google sometimes. I mean, it's fast, but I mean, we're lazy. We don't want to spend the time maybe looking things up and maybe writing them down. My wife's great at this. She's always making scripture cards for people. She believes in the power of the Word of God. And so she'll take them little recipe cards, and how many knows the gospel's the best recipe you can ever have? Amen. She'll write those things. I says, I think I have a program. I could print those out for you. I think if I hit a button. But no, she likes to write them out and do all that, and that's awesome. She gives those things out, but it takes a little homework. And then you got to put that little card in your pocket, and then you got to take that card out every now and then, and you start saying what God says. And before you know it, you'll start believing it. Right? Because if not, we're going to keep believing what the world tells us. You know, when things are coming around and that how we need to, you know, take what the world says. See, we need to start confessing our redemption instead of our frailties. I'll tell you what, stop making excuses and start making solutions. We make excuses for too much of our life. I can't do this. This is all bad. These people don't like me. Boo-hoo. I have very few people that really like me probably in this world. You know what I mean? Because sometimes I make the mistake of, you know, siding with God on the situation. And I've made some enemies, but I've made some real good friends too. You know, after a while, they start to warm up to me. I take a little while. You know, I'm an acquired taste, and I know that. See, these are the days that we may not feel redeemed all the time. There is days like that. I don't feel like I'm on fire for God all the time. I don't know about, maybe you do. Praise God if you can. But I'd like to know your secret, because some days I just don't feel that way. But do I make my decisions based on that? You know, there's some days that I don't look redeemed, you know. I may get mad. You know, I may say something that I shouldn't have, so I don't look redeemed. But see, that's not who I really am. I am the redeemed. You know, that's what I need to do. I need to say so. You know, I just thought of this, and I didn't, you know, write it in my message, but, you know, talking to some people that's, you know, go through some really hard times. We're talking about emotional pain, you know, right now, you know, anxiety, depression, all these things. What you need to do, and this is so simple, and I know it's I'm making it too easy, but you need to find an anchor. And you need to put that anchor in your head. Because sometimes when it gets bad, what an anchor is, you need to know that this is something that you're going through. It's not something that you're going to live all the time. You got to remember that good day. You know what I'm saying? Them good days that come, that they're there. And if we just remember, because there's times that I maybe just was had enough, but I remember the good day. And so that helps me to know that this isn't reality. Feelings change. And I need to know that I need to go through this, but I'm going to go to something else. And that's the blessings of God. So if you're going through a hard time now or in the future, try that little technique. Hang on to God and know that this is just temporary. Because words are so important, and they're gonna affect how you go through things, because words are containers. Let them contain life. Let them contain life. Build people up, not put them down. Speak life and not death. See, our words that we have build or destroy. We can build people up and make them feel good, or we can tear them down and make them feel terrible. And it's up to us to choose. So the idea that we have the choice to make with our words is that our words many times will affect our destiny. If you track your destiny through your life, if you're going through a negative time and all you're speaking of negative things, you're going to find out that's going to drag you down. But the good news is we can turn that around. Don't let it drag you down. Turn it around. Start speaking life. Start, you know, it may not change immediately, but the Word of God has power to be able to change situations, to be able to change circumstances, so that we can be able to walk in the life of God and let the blessings of God start to chase us down. You know, that's what I'm looking for, is them blessings, you know, to chase us down. What we have to do, these are some real practical things you can try at home. We need to rearrange our responses. I don't know about you, but our responses are sometimes terrible. You know, how we respond to things. I don't know how you do, but sometimes I'll just say, you know, some doubt and unbelief, and I don't want to do that. You know, when something comes up, you know, maybe a financial need, or, you know, sometimes, you know, me and my wife will talk about something, you know, about finances, maybe spending something. Instead of saying, we can't afford that, I mean, that's death. You just released that, hey, I can't afford that. That may be true. But instead, why don't you try to say, we need to trust the Lord for this extra money. You just turn that situation around just by rearranging your response to a need that's coming on in your life. You just now put God into action instead of speaking death and bringing the devil in. Instead of saying, I can't do that, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of saying, I'm overwhelmed, I can't go on, I quit. I remember the Apostle Paul, when he could have said that, he said, God's grace is sufficient for me. See, that's what grace is for. Is when we go through things and saying, I can't go on, I can't take another step. You know, things are overwhelming me. Things are just coming from every side. God's grace is sufficient for me. You will never find your potential until you tap into it. And that's a fact. Just like I know Jason loves to run, bless his little heart, you know. I don't, you know. But I'm sure he hits his wall every now and then. You know, when I hit the wall, I start walking. And the wall's closer and closer. It's time. It's closing in on me. You know what I mean? But good runners will run through that wall. And they'll get to the other side and get that boost of energy. And see, that's what we need to do when it comes to these things, in the things of God, as we learn how to tame our tongue. Because life is all about how we spin it. I mean, you watch people on TV, the spin doctors, you know, in politics and all that. I mean, there's a reason for that. They spin it because they want to make it so we can accept it. See, our words can frame every situation that we come up against. It's all about our response and how we want to do it. So if we're going to get anywhere in life, remember, we need to control our tongue. Second point I want to look at, I want to look at another scripture found in Matthew 12. I don't like this scripture. I mean, I'll just be honest with you right up front. It says, the good man brings out his good treasure, what is good. Matthew 12, 35 to 37. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. See, the reason why I don't like this scripture is because I can really say some stupid stuff sometimes. I don't know about you. But here, God says that our words will justify us or condemn us. And so, the next point I want to see is that our words matter to God. Our words matter to God. And how important it is that we get those lined up. See, the reason why our words matter to God is because our words that we speak reveal what is really in our heart. And that's painful. It's really in our heart. And that's why God wants us to get renewed and to get changed, because a lot of that stinking thinking and all that stuff comes out of the inside of us. And then it's a perpetual, it's like getting on a merry-go-round. You can't get off. Negative words bring negative things, and negative things bring negative words. And you know what I mean? It's just a cycle in our life. And some families have that generational curse that just, it's just the way they operate and the way they deal with each other. And we need to get off that merry-go-round, that crazy cycle. And we need to get on a new road, a pathway that God wants us to go on. See, Jesus said it's not what enters the mouth that defiles us, but what comes out of our mouth. See, the Pharisees were going around trying to keep the law. And see, they was making sure somebody didn't eat the wrong stuff or you washed your hands the right way. But they didn't care what came out of their mouth. You know, they were speaking death. And Jesus got on about that. And, you know, they got ticked off. It offended them. Jesus offended them. Well, they needed offended. Because they were representatives of God and they were leading people down the wrong road. And Jesus came along and he wanted to straighten those things out, and it just took a little bit of time, and we know how everything turned out. But, religion is bad. It keeps people in bondage. See, Jesus is more concerned about what comes out of the mouth because that's what's in our heart. See, the words we speak, I think, are like a thermometer. They reveal the temperature of our heart. You know, if you want to know what's going on inside of us, kind of carry a tape recorder around or turn your spouse loose. That's a challenging thing. Let them remind you of what you're saying. You know, with our words, we either bless or we curse others. You know, the Bible says in James that we're made in the image of God. All of us, even your enemies. The people that you hate the most are also made in the image of God. And James talks about with our mouth we praise God, and then we go around and we curse his creation. God doesn't like that. So that's an area of our life we can work on. How many know we need that? Amen. Especially, you know, 2020, politic time. Yay. No. You know what I'm saying? People get all mad and they say a lot of bad and mean and nasty things. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, that can get us into a lot of trouble too. So to walk in our 2020 vision, we need to monitor our mouth. And this is the challenge I want to throw out there. And we do this a little bit, but not as much as we probably should. But the test of a good marriage is to give your spouse permission to correct your mouth. That's a tough one. Because that means you're giving them free rein to, honey, if I ever say anything, doubt and unbelief, or anything negative, I want you to correct me. Ouch. We've tried this a couple times. It's not that fun all the time. You know. Now, I'm not talking about being the word police or whatever. I mean, so there's some balance with it. But I'll tell you what, if we want to change, it's going to take some pain, right? You know, if we want to change the way we do it. And if we want to change our trajectory, you know, most people are just satisfied with that. But with God, I want us to go like this. I want us to go up and up and up and up. I want to get to the place where I'm so dangerous to the devil. You know, he doesn't like it when I show up because he knows he's in big trouble. Because my mouth is right with God. My heart is right with God. My life is right with God. And when I show up, things are going to change for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And see, that's my goal in life. I have a few goals, and that's what I want to see. Now, lastly, I want to look at my last point. We're going to look at the book of Job. And I'll be honest, when I started out, I thought this was the book of Job. You know, I'll just be honest with you. I had, I heard people talk about Job, but I never put two and two together as a kid or whatever. And then when I got saved and, you know, I looked at that book and I started reading through the Bible a little bit. Wow, the book of Job. Huh, I got a job. I don't want to read that one. No. But Job chapter 1 verse 5, and then we're going to look at 3 verse 25. And this talking about Job, you know, how we can open the door to the devil. This one's that our words matter to the devil. It says in Job 1:5, it says, when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them. He's talking about his kids right now. How many worry about your kids every now and then? Not worries wrong. How many are kind of concerned? Oh, that's kind of a doubt, ain't it? I don't know. How many think their kids need to get their head on straight? Praise God. Amen? There you go. Okay. So when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, he spoke this out, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So that was a fear that Job had in his heart, and then he spoke it out. And then we know what happened. For some of you, maybe never read that book yet, but his kids all got killed. They died. Every one of them died. Then in Job 3:25, Job said, for what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. So he got what he said in his life. And we need to be careful, because as we look at the idea of that our words matter to the devil, is because I believe this: Satan cannot read our hearts, but he can hear our lips. Satan does not know what you're thinking unless you tell him. Unless you tell him. And here's what happened to Job. He got in fear about his kids. You know, they were having times of feasting. Maybe they're getting, you know, kind of wound up or whatever. So he was so scared about it. And then what he feared, fear's like a magnet. It draws the devil right to us. And so that opened the door for the devil to come in. And, you know, a lot of bad things happened. It's because what we say will give us away. What we say will give us away. See, the words that you and I speak can either repel the devil or invite him in. And we need to take that to heart. The words we speak will either send him packing, or it's going to invite the devil into our life to start to rule and reign in some ways. Because we live in a world, and see, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, little g. You know what I'm saying? And he lives in this world, and he's very smart. He's been around a long time, and he manipulates, he tricks us, he's a deceiver, and he tries to get us to thinking wrong. If you get to thinking wrong, you start believing wrong, and you start believing wrong, and then you start to think, well, you deserve all this bad stuff because, you know, you did this and, you know, did that, and all these things happen. And it's just something that it's hard to get out of that when the devil starts messing with your life. Now, full disclosure, even if you got it right, he's going to mess with you every now and then, you know what I'm saying? Just because he don't like you. You know, don't ever think you're going to be friends with the devil. You know, that's never going to happen. But I will say this, it's worse if your mouth lines up with him. He's going to come in and he's going to start to get into your stuff and start to keep you in bondage, trying to hold you back. See, the devil will only devour those who open the door. Only the ones who open the door. Not everybody, but if you open the door, it will. How we open the door, we can do it a lot of different ways, but the main way we do it is with our mouth. When we start to side with him and side with culture, you know, and, you know, another one that does it, and this is something we're not going to go into today, but something you can put on the front burner, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We'll give Satan an advantage. I don't know, I was more of a lover than a fighter. I know I don't look like it, but nobody got that one. Darn. Oh, well. I was more of a lover than a fighter. I thought fighting was kind of crazy, but I did a few. But I will know this. If you ever got into a fight, it's better to have both hands free. So you can either punch or you can block, right? But if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's like tying your arms behind you. That's the advantage that you give the devil. You've taken away your defense and you've taken away your offense. And so that's why you get hit in the face. That's why we need to release unforgiveness. It's not a fair world. We've all been wronged. I could write a country song or two. You know, I've been wronged. But I do know this. I cannot afford living the life I live and wanting to do the things I want to do to have unforgiveness in my heart. I may not feel like I've forgiven, but by faith, I need to release that over to God and just give it to him and let that unforgiveness go. And that way I can get back in the fight again so that I can be able to protect my family from the wiles of the devil. You know what I'm saying? Because that's my responsibility, protect and provide as the husband of the family. And, you know, so it's important, you know, that we understand some of these concepts and how it works. Like I said, we need to speak the solution and not the problem. You know, don't make excuses all the time. You know, yes, maybe you did have a bad childhood. Maybe you had a bad marriage. But we can turn them things around. At least you may not be able to change the other person, but you can change you. You can change how you respond. And that will position you and put you in a place to win, okay? Now, like I said, don't give the devil that advantage over your life. And if we're going to fulfill what God wants us to do in 2020, to have that 2020 vision, we need to be operating on all cylinders. We need to have everything working in the way that God wants it to. So we need to be able to walk in that life. And so when we speak words of death, you know, we let the devil run loose in our life. And that's why we need to change our confession. And if we change our confession, then we start to change our possession. We start to get different things in our life. I will say this, if I start complimenting my wife instead of criticizing my wife, it's a whole different world. You know what I'm saying? Whole different world at home. But if I want to be nitpicky and pick on this and pick on that and tear this down and tear that down, you know, the old saying is true, if mama ain't happy, nobody ain't happy. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like that in all areas of our life. And the same with me, her with me, you know. So that's why we need to be mature enough and be wise enough to decide, what do I really want out of life? What kind of Christian life do I want to live? Do I want to draw people to Jesus? Do I want to repel Jesus? Do I want to keep send the devil packing? Do I want to keep him out of my life? Or do I want the devil invite him in, you know? And because he comes in like an angel of light. You know, he doesn't look that bad. He's an all right guy. You know, God's a loving God. He'll give him another chance. Wrong. You know, we don't want any of his stuff in our life. That's why Jesus gave us the word. That's why we need to see ourselves on this side of Calvary. We don't want to go back to that old life. You know, I think about all the old things that I used to do. I cannot think of one of them that I want to go be a part of again. So if we're going to get anywhere in this life, we need to learn how to control our tongue. Let's pray.